The Grant and Danny radio program is brought to you every day by our friends, the law firm Kondori & Murrah. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Your next chance to win tickets to game one of the Caps and the Canes right here on The Fan comes up in about 50 minutes at the very end of this 4 o'clock hour. So make sure you're listening at that time. We're also giving away tickets to the DC Defenders this week during our Beltway Blitz. So coming up in 8 minutes, we will give away a 4-pack of tickets to Defenders against Arlington. You better be listening at 10 after. We'll tell you when to call in just a few. But without further ado, let's get to the Blitz. Let's kick things off on the ice. The hockey news, Sammy Silver joins us. Sammy, it took forever, but we now know when the Caps are playing. Games 1 and 2 at home, Tuesday and Thursday, and then Saturday and Monday they'll be playing games 3 and 4 in Carolina. What'd you make of the schedule finally coming out?
Yeah, it was good to see it finally come out, so I know when to show up. No, I think it was nice, to watch the game 7s. I thought it added a lot of craziness and fun to the playoffs, and obviously that. You know, that Winnipeg and St. Louis game was crazy after that series went the distance there. So I think it benefits the Caps to give them a few more days of rest, give them a couple more, full practice days, kind of, prep for Carolina, kind of get the body ready. My dog apparently wants to chime in. Just get them geared up for the series. So fouling out, they're ready to go, and it should be a good game one tomorrow.
Whenever a dog barks on the show, Danny and I play a game and guess what kind of dog it is. So it's time for the game on Grant and Danny called Guess the Guest Dog. I'm going to say this is a poodle. I'm going to say poodle.
I've got a beagle, like a Jay Beagle.
Ooh, very good.
Ooh, both of you guys are off. She's a German Shepherd Terrier mix.
Oh.
Yeah, rescue. Her name is Koozie.
Koozie's a good name, though. Does she do the bird after she gets really excited? Does she put her paws out and just start?
How's the off ice behavior for Koozie?
Yeah, she sellies like crazy. Yeah, no, it's what you guys heard is classic Koozie.
There you go. But yeah, I was gonna say
makes perfect sense. How does this matchup work for you in your head? I mean, stack it up. Canes are faster. Caps are bigger. What do you think?
Yeah, I think honestly, it's more even than a lot of people are making out. I think those teams are really deep, and I think you look at the Caps and the scoring depth that they have in the offense and. They have a lot of physicality too, not just Tom Wilson and Ovechkin, but you got Brandon Duhaime back there and, Matt Roy can throw the body too. So, Caps have a lot of physicality, and then you look at the Hurricanes, right? And you're right. They're a fast team, and they throw everything on goal, like every possible thing, they don't shy away from getting pucks to the net. So I think that's something that the Caps are going to have to look out for and obviously work harder on the forecheck, but the best offense can be, or the best defense rather, can be offense, right? So I think the Caps know how to score. They just got to get, to a style of play and a higher gear where they're throwing everything at the net and not trying to get too cute or anything like that. So should be a fun series, but they're more evenly matched than I think a lot of people are making them out to be.
So sell me on that, Sammy, because to me, Carolina terrifies me. It's not open ice speed. It's not a skating contest, but it's the fact that I feel like when anybody plays them, especially when I see Washington play them, there's just no room. There's no room for good decision-making. There's no room for getting the pucks out from deep in your own end, and the turnovers happen. And it just seems like they're everywhere all the time, all at once, like that movie about being everywhere all the time, all at once. They terrify me. Sell me on why it's a better matchup than I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. They don't give you a lot of space out there, but the Caps, I mean, it's not like the Caps have never won against them at any point this season, right? I think you saw really, a couple of really good wins, including a really good one at home, to close out April there. And, I think that there's a Caps team that's resilient, they demand the very best out of each other and they're a close group. And, yeah, I mean, bonds like that off the ice can really help you on the ice when everybody's buying in. But, the Caps know how to have a higher speed. And, they know that they need to, elevate their game to match their opponent. They're not going to step off the gas. They're not going to take it lightly. They've been practicing really hard these past few days. They've been going over film like crazy. So, I think the Caps, they have this belief and something special about this group. And it's, you can't really deny it, as much as you hear about it. So I think it's more even than people think. You know, the Cavs have a lot of offensive depth to do. You know, they scored a lot of goals this season, and they know how to make space for themselves, you know, physically. So I think if they bring that same physicality we saw against Montreal, it should be smooth sailing.
Caps playoff coverage on Grant and Danny throughout the series brought to you by Ace Trim Carpentry for over 25 years. Ace Trim's been a trusted trade partner for new home builders in the DMV, specializing in full service interior trim carpentry, handling everything from supply to installation, turnkey and hassle free. Contact acetrim.com today. Ace Trim, the home builders trade partner. Sammy, outside of Logan Thompson, give us a couple of X factor players that have to shine for the Caps to take out the Canes.
Yeah, you know, I think you want to see, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois start to find some offense here. I mean, it's not like, you know, he wasn't finding it. His role is a shutdown, you know, center. He plays against other teams' top line. So, I mean, it'll be an X factor to get some points from him, but for him to, you know, keep doing the same exact thing he did against Montreal. And, you know, obviously Dylan Strome, you know, scoring a high rate right now. You got to keep that going. But, you know, other guys, I think, you know, you see guys like Brandon Duhaime, right, who have, you know, 3 goals in 5 playoff games and turn it on when they need it. So, you know, people like him and Andrew Mangiapane, I think he's somebody who can be a big X factor. And, you know, obviously you can't, you know, not talk about Protas and Anthony Beauvillier. I mean, those two guys are just, you know, hard workers out there, and they're going to bring a lot. So a handful of forwards, but, you know, I think PLD will be a big difference maker in this series.
Tell Kuzi we miss him.
I will.
Thank you, Sammy.
92. Whenever you're ready to come back and watch a game in the suite, we want to see Kuzi. Thanks, right. Sammy.
Thanks, guys. Susan.
Hit that national sounder, please. My God, that's Craig Heist music talking about the Nationals. That's right.
Heist star?
You got that right.
Back on the Grant and Danny radio program. You know, he had held out. That? He was like a training camp holdout. He said he would never do our show again. He was at odds with Danny. They were feuding. Yep. But he is back today and better than ever. Star, I guess you and Danny worked out.
We patched it up, right, buddy?
Absolutely.
We saw each other in the press box, and I was like, you having some ice cream? He said, yeah. And then we went ahead and, you know, they patched it all up. Heisty, Dylan Cruz. Oh, I think he got one hit on the road trip, one more than me. I think it was 1 for 21. So I guess so much for that hot streak kind of being over. Looks lost in between.
Well, yeah, it's ups and downs with him, Danny, no question about it. But the one thing I don't think that he does is take his offensive problems out into the field, and that's a good thing. I mean, you know, Davey's always expressed a lot of confidence in him. I think they still do. And I think it's just a matter of time. And the other thing is, you talk to people that watch him from other teams and people who cover the game from other teams, and they just say how much they like him. So I guess it's the growing pains at this point, and you just have to wait and see whether or not it comes to fruition.
The man they call Mr. Exit Velocity, Craig Heist, joining us on the Beltway Blitz here on Grant and Danny.
Well, you know, Toby taught me all about that.
Yeah, exit velocity. I heard
exit velocity.
You've been evangelizing exit velocity all over the press box lately. You're hosting a seminar.
How you doing?
I heard you're going to be doing a big exit velocity TED talk over at the.
I'm having a seminar, Grant. Yeah. Next week.
War points, barrel percentage, and exit velocity. Right. A talk with Craig Heist.
Yeah. I'm trying to determine what the difference is if the exit velocity is, say, 110 to 115, and whether the ball goes out of the ballpark or whether it's hit right at a defender. Exactly, what's the difference?
The angle that it left. That's not important.
Okay. There you go.
Star, how about Jake Irvin, tonight's starter, taking on the Guardians in game one? He's been up and down a little bit, but coming off of his worst start in terms of runs given up, he's their number two starter. They need more out of him. What have you seen from Jake? His velocity's down 2 miles an hour this year.
A little bit of inconsistency, no question about it, but I think he is capable of doing what Mitchell Parker and Mackenzie Gore do on a fairly consistent basis, and that's get your team into the fifth, if not beyond. In fact, the three of them combined are 10th in the National League in total amount of innings pitched. So, I mean, to me, you just can't argue with what the starters have done to this point. It's a matter of whether or not, you know, if they have the lead and it's over the past the sixth inning, whether or not the bullpen can hold it. And for the most part here lately, it's not been bad with the bullpen. But again, it's a work in progress. You know, they're three games under 500. You got the Guardians coming in, and they're second in their division in the American League right now, game and a half behind the Tigers. So we'll just wait and see. But you know, a lot of baseball to be played yet.
Heisty, thank you as always, buddy.
All right, guys.
Talk soon, my friend.
Greg Heist on the Nats is part of our Beltway Blitz. We promised you we'd be giving away a four-pack of tickets to the D.C. Defenders here. So why don't we do that? Sunday, May 18th at Audi Field. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Say something nice to Tobes. He'll be telling you you're a winner. If you're caller 10, Defenders got to get right because they got shellacked this weekend. That was their worst loss of the season. I'd be willing to bet one of their worst losses ever.
Because they haven't lost many games.
Margin. No, they've been good. Much better at home than on the road, clearly. But it was a tough one for them this weekend in Michigan. So someone's winning those Defenders tickets. We'll have them kicking off the Beltway Blitz all week long right here on Grant and Danny. Your next chance to win on the show, Caps tickets, coming up in about 40 minutes. Let's talk to Johnny Cakesalvo. Cakesy, we got an NFL draft coming to the nation's capital on the National Mall. What do you think?
Look at that. We are big time. I mean, that's a huge thing. And let's be honest, we all know that if that little weasel dirtbag former owner Dan Snyder was still in town, there's no chance they would have awarded the Washington franchise an NFL draft. Like, it just shows you that how many things are possible with Josh Harris and his ownership group. Things just get done. I mean, look at all the wins, you know, not only on the field, as you guys like to know, like to do the winning off the field bit, but just people want to do business with Josh Harris. They want to get deals done with Josh Harris. We're now on the cusp of the stadium returning back to where it should be at RFK. That doesn't get done without Josh Harris here. And the NFL draft is one of the marquee events that brings eyeballs of the sports world. It brings tourism dollars into your city. I mean, it's a huge deal for Washington, D.C. And I think it's just a signal to the D.C. residents that Josh Harris gets things done, and he's going to get that stadium done too.
Cakesy, 30,000-foot view. Grade their offseason at this point.
I would give it a solid. I think it gets a B. I'm maybe trending towards a B+. I mean, you look at the draft, and maybe that was, you know, not what everybody was expecting. People wanted an edge rusher, but if you look at upgrading the offensive line with a one-year prove-it type of deal to help upgrade the offense. Look, Danny, Grant, we know what young star quarterbacks need. They need more weapons and they need more protection. Well, you bring in Deebo Samuel, you draft a right tackle in Connerly to upgrade the line. Now you have bookends on that offensive line to help out your young stud signal caller. I think that's a B to a B+. The only really missing link is the edge rusher is going to have to be done kind of like as a patchwork unit.
Kicks, going back to the big theme of the day and the draft coming to D.C., how is it related at all, in your opinion, with Harris being at the White House today and hanging out with the mayor again and the commissioner being there, to getting a new stadium in the city?
I mean, I just think it signals that he's a deal maker. He's a mover and a shaker, whereas, you know, like, Doing business with Dan Snyder was toxic. Doing business with Josh Harris and his group is fruitful and productive. And, you know, just look at all he's accomplished in the short time he's been the owner here. You know, things just couldn't get done. Dan Snyder couldn't get out of his own way as the owner. And Josh Harris just keeps getting wins. He gets, you know, the RFK Stadium is up for a vote. The NFL draft is coming under his watch. It's going to be here in 2 years. So, yeah, I mean, it shows that political figures are willing to get in the ring with Josh Harris and get things done. I think that's obviously the biggest difference between him and Dan Snyder.
Cakesy, for the stadium and for you, for old Johnny Cakesalvo, like, if you were stuck in the elevator with high-level decision-makers, be it mayor, Josh Harris, you know, anybody that had some influence, what would you say, like, bug in your ear? Hey, this is what the new stadium needs to have.
Ooh, it's it just has to be as cutting edge as some of the newer stadiums we've seen pop up over the last few years. It has to be on the same level as a SoFi. It has to be as good as Allegiant Stadium out in Vegas. But I think it also has to work in some of the architecture that is reminiscent of DC. It has to have its own flair to it. But I think obviously the one thing that you definitely need for it, it has to have a dome. It has to have a roof on the stadium. Now, I know retractable domes and roofs are kind of passe, but I think that dome stadium is a must.
Danny, you don't know where Cakes is going at the end of May. Did you hear his big announcement this week?
Oh, I did not hear this week. Where was it this morning? You announced it?
No, it was the end of the week last week.
Okay.
Where do you think Cakes he's going to be at the end of May?
The same place he goes for vacation every year, to that beach in South Carolina.
Cakesy, tell my guy where you're going to be.
It's actually not the end of May, Grant. It is the beginning of July. But Danny, I will be playing for the first and hopefully not last time in the World Series of Poker main event, my friend.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
So wait, I was just reading that it was May 27th to July 16th. And I was going to comment on how long that is. And are you ever going to come back to work? But do you just somehow get to skip all the prelims and go right to the championship?
Yeah. Here's the thing, Grant, the World Series of Poker, it probably, I don't know the exact number, but it does run that long. But there are probably 50, 55, maybe 60 different events. So I'm playing in the big enchilada, the big boy, the $10,000.
But you have to qualify in.
So you don't have to do one of the satellite numbers.
Could I get into that with enough money, or do you have to be a poker player?
No, you can. If you have $10,000 American dollars, you can go to the cage and you can buy your seat into the World Series of Poker, Grant.
I don't have that much money, but I do know Eric Bickle.
Oh, well, okay. Let me just also. This is a big. Prerequisite. I'm not paying a single dime out of my own pocket.
Johnny Cakes. That's how we do it, ladies and gentlemen.
That's how we do it.
This is how I do it. Now, again, let me give you another detail. I have. Arrangement. Let's just say it's an arrangement with my friends at Gulf Coast Poker. They are buying me in. Now, in exchange for that buy-in, they get 65% of any winnings.
Ooh.
And old Johnny Flicks 30% in his pocket.
Does this somehow end winnings. With like some dude with like, give me like a heavy bad guy Russian accent, Danny?
Perhaps you do not know who you're playing with.
Like, is this going to be a movie in 5 years where Cakes is played by, like, I don't know, Michael Cera or something, and they're chasing you down? I don't know why Cakes would be Michael Cera.
Paul Giamatti stars as Johnny Flakes Allville.
That's a very aggressive, you know, Grant, I appreciate that. That's a very young, aggressive comp for me. That Danny's Paul Giamatti is definitely more.
Well, he's going age appropriate. I was just saying, maybe the character doesn't exactly reflect the real life guy. Like, Paul Giamatti works for sure. We could do that.
Sure. But, yeah. I hope. Look, at this point, I haven't signed any papers. I haven't signed a contract in blood at this point. So I don't think it's going to turn into like any sort of like, I'm going to be on the run and I'm going to be a fugitive from the law. And, you know, like, the bad guys are after me. I don't think there's anything nefarious as far as this arrangement is concerned, as far as I know at this point.
But the Cinderella story out of nowhere, winning the whole damn thing.
I got it, by the way.
Can you imagine?
Cakes is played Jason Alexander.
Jason
Silly.
Alexander. That's tough.
Who's also a degenerate poker player, which that kind of makes sense.
In, let's go.
I hit pocket aces and I lost, Jerry. I lost.
I love him some poker.
Do we want it to be Vinnie Jones with like a British accent, Danny? Chasing Cakes down?
You seem like you're a bit confused, ain't you? You've lost more ways than one. You're going down.
Or like maybe like a Javier Bardem. Like, this could be Oscar bait, this film. Gary Oldman is Cakes' coach. He's his advisor.
But is it Gary Oldman with the seamless American accent so no one knows he's British for 25 years?
I think Javier Bardem is the guy ordering the hit on Cakes that originally staked him.
Yeah, that could work. I think I prefer my Gary Oldman to be the Russian taking over Air Force One. That's the Gary Oldman that I would want in the movie.
Gary Oldman,
good one.
What was the name of the general? Do you remember the dude? Like, was it Raditz or Rat something like that?
It's like General Raddick, I think. he sounds like a name like for the probably a third liner for the Carolina.
I was going to say he plays for the Hurricanes also.
is Duff Lindgren still in game shape enough that somehow he can be hunting down
Cam? Yes. I think Dolph Lindgren is still, he's still getting it done after all these years. I think I've seen him in either like a DraftKings or a FanDuel commercial.
Supporting roles in Aquaman over the last couple of years where he's just Dolph Lundgren, man, just doing Dolph.
Let's just all act like I didn't call him Duff.
Duff.
Duff Lundgren is what I was
off the rails, by the way. Is.
Hey, you picked me up when I was down, Cakes. Thank you. Go get him. I want to win in the World Series of Poker. No pressure.
Hey, I do too. I hope that's the case. I hope I come back with a big suitcase filled with cash.
Do a ton of people. Like, how hard is it to win money? I know if winning the big thing could be millions, but like, do 9,000 people get money?
Here's how hard it is. About 10% of the field cashes. So 1 in 10. Is that, are those good percentages?
Silly. When I got Cakes on my side, absolutely.
I want to hear Lon McEachern say, Johnny Cakes Allville, a radio man from Washington, D.C. Like, I want that.
Danny knows Lon McEachern and Norman Chad.
This is guy.
I was called Lon McEachern. No, that's the guy who does the poker bits.
I do like that you called him Lon McEachern, and he's Lon McEachern.
Well, they didn't give him a pronunciation on Google.
No, I know the guy's name. What's Norm? Not Norm McDonald.
Norman Chad.
Yeah, Norman Chad.
Definitely Norman Chad.
Yeah, who's always like makes fun of everybody, even when they win and they do well.
Does he still have a mustache?
Very snarky, that Norman Chad.
Still got his mustache?
Oh, yes, he certainly does.
Very good. All right, we've kept you too long. You're getting ready, so you're probably training right now, chasing chickens and drinking raw eggs for the World Series.
I'm doing
Series
all
of
those
poker.
Things.
All right, go do your music montage, Cakesy.
All right, boys.
See ya.
Later. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
He's going to go hit a hanging, raw, frozen cow right now.
For whatever reason, yeah.
Just getting ready to play poker. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Another chance to win Caps tickets coming up in about 30 minutes right here on G&D. Everybody seems high on the Commanders. We're going to talk to Eric Edholm later today, NFL Media. He's got them sixth in his 32-team power rankings. Is that just about Jaden Daniels, or are they good outside of the quarterback position? Let's discuss that next. In 30 minutes at 5 o'clock, Eric Edholm of NFL Media. He's got the Commanders ranked sixth in his NFL power rankings. We'll ask him about that. People are very high on Washington, despite some flaws. They think they'll be able to manufacture pass rush. They'll be able to overcome lack of speed at running back, some of the issues that we had a month ago. Right now, the over-under, depending on where you're looking, 9.5 wins. A lot of people think maybe 10-plus. They get back to the playoffs, and you and I didn't have an issue when we saw the power rankings, and they were ranked sixth because there was nobody you would obviously say behind them is definitively better coming off of last season. But I had this question, and I want to pose this to our listeners at 800-636-1067, and you can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny as well. Is the faith in this team being really good and the expectation that they're going to be comparable to what they were last year, winning double-digit games, just based on Jaden Daniels, or do people think they're good outside of him? Because that can be fleeting either by way of a small regression by him, CJ Stroud as a sophomore, or him getting hurt, right? Like, in other words, if Jaden Daniels is not a superstar this year and does not play at an MVP level like he did last year, are they still a really good team? Or is it built into the equation that Daniels is just that guy, that it's Allen and Lamar and Mahomes and Burrow, and then Daniels is going to be the next great thing in the league, the top five guy, the best of the rest. And because of that, Washington is also going to be a perennial championship game contender in the NFC. Because I'm trying to sort out, is this just a confidence in Daniels, or is it a confidence that the team around him is actually good?
So I think here's what happens. It's like going on actual dates with people versus reading a dating profile. If you read the dating profile, you go, young superstar quarterback, NFC title game last year, second year for program with an offseason. Power rankings, top 10. Whereas if you go out and you get to know the person, you get some life stories, you find out, yeah, they were really lucky with an easy schedule and won a helmet. I'm not taking it away from, by the way. It was great. I had fun too. But some of it doesn't necessarily look as sustainable, where you were under-talented in a lot of spots and got away with things. You played ball control the second half of the year. Only one game were you able to run the ball worth a damn against the lowly Tennessee Titans, who just picked first. That's not sustainable. You needed to improve dramatically, and they improved some. They got better. They're going to remain patient, not just panic and go get somebody because they have a position of need, but they're going to do things judiciously. So if they're not going to break the bank, and they're always going to maybe be more patient than a lot of us would want. So to me, that there's a difference there, where on paper, just the headline view, you'd go, yeah, of course they belong in the top 10. But if you sort of delve deeper, you kind of go, man, a lot of that last year doesn't seem like it carries over in a lot of ways. And I still don't think their roster is as good as Detroit's or Philadelphia's or Baltimore's or, a lot of the teams maybe they're competing with. So I think it leads more to my answer is I think it's a lot more Daniels.
Well, I think it's all Daniels. And I think it's more simple than that. It's less complicated. I think that they are viewed as a team, not unlike the Chiefs or the Bills or the Bengals or whoever. If you've got fill-in-the-blank quarterback, you're going to be in the mix. And remember, the Bengals didn't make the playoffs last year, despite Burrow being at his apex. I mean,
incredible.
Because their defense was historically bad. But it took that, right? Like, let's face it. It took them being one of the worst defenses ever for about three quarters of the season for them to narrowly miss the playoffs as he played at an MVP level. But the perception I have, and I think a lot of football people have on the Chiefs, is as long as they got Patrick Mahomes, they're fine. Mahomes and Reed are going to keep them in the hunt, right? They're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be in the AFC Championship game. It's kind of like LeBron. You got LeBron, you roll the basketball out, you're in the Eastern Conference Final, or now Western Conference Final, every single year. And I think there's some element of that with the Chiefs and with Mahomes. I know that that's the thought with the Bills and Josh Allen, because I've said it the last couple of years. Everyone kept saying the Bills were about to fall off. The team's not the same. They lost Diggs. They lost Gabe Davis. Look at this and that about their defense, and Von Miller's older. And my point has always been, they still have Josh Allen, right? Haley Steinfeld's boyfriend is still their starting quarterback. Yeah? Have you seen Sinners, by the way?
No.
Haley Steinfeld, outstanding performance. Excellent actress.
I believe that.
You familiar with her work?
Oh, of course, yeah.
She does good work.
Pitch Perfect 2 she was in.
Yeah,
she
this performance is better.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I like this
one
better.
She performs really well?
Wonderful. A wonderful actress.
Okay.
One of the most wonderful.
Okay.
Anyway, Danny, what I'm trying to tell you is Josh Allen dates Haley Steinfeld, and also as long as he's the Bills quarterback, they will be a 13-win team. I think we're getting that treatment because of Jaden Daniels. This is a flawed roster that's got major questions in other areas. How good is the defense? Are they going to generate pass rush? The linebacking core with Bobby Wagner's getting older. Are we confident in the corner room led by Marshawn Lattimore and a rookie? Like, there's a lot of things we got to sort out here. But everyone's going, Commanders, 11 wins, one of the top teams in the NFC, chance to get back to the Super Bowl. And what I'm asking is, am I right when I say, I just think it's people betting on Jaden Daniels the same way I do Allen and Mahomes. Because it feels a little early for that. I love the guy. He was amazing last year. But I want two really good seasons before I just put him in the they got five, so it's all going to work out category. But it seems like they're already in that category for people.
Yeah, they're in the cool kids category. Again, because they got to the NFC title game, rather. Right? I mean, that to me is the difference.
Should they be in the, like, to me, it's a binary. There's like four teams. The Ravens are going to win 13 games because they got Lamar. We're doing that already with Washington because of Daniels. Should they be? It's been 1 year. It was an amazing year.
No, I know.
Year,
but and I guess I keep saying the same thing, and I know it's not what you're honing in on, but it's Daniels the same way everybody assumed that Houston would be so nasty because of how good Stroud was in year one and how good Houston was. They're going to make a leap, and they were good, but not what everybody thought. I think 90% because of Daniels, the other because they just played the NFC title game. Like, had they lost to Tampa, had that kick not gone in, everyone would go, yeah, Daniels is really good, but 9.5 wins seems about right. They're probably 10th or 11th.
So you think if they would have lost, Gonzalez's doink in goes off the uprights, and then they give up a touchdown on the ensuing drive and lose.
Yeah.
You don't think they're a top 6-7 power ranking team.
I think you now default to the Rams ahead of them who gave Philadelphia a better game. I think Green Bay had a little bit more resume.
So they're basically back where they were when they got into the playoffs.
And that's kind of my point. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way, because those things are so fickle. We're talking about a matter of inches one way or the other. We're talking about a Rams team that was pretty good. Probably had Philadelphia beat if it wasn't for the snow. I mean, the point is that when you combine Daniels, the cool kids club, and that's what we're in, rightfully so, plus the fact they were in the conference title game, that everybody who's doing these power rankings, all you do is read the three-sentence summary. No one's going into the fact that, as you said, that we're doing, we're sitting here digesting and consuming every element of the team from 1 through 53. We're going, yeah, there's some holes. You're not concerned as much about the holes if you're doing 1 through 32. You're writing two sentences about everybody. The sentence about Baltimore is what you just said. Really smart general manager, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. The sentence about Buffalo is, doesn't really seem to matter. Josh Allen is a Superman. Kansas City, when Pat Mahomes starts, they've been to the AFC title game six straight times. You just book that, right?
Yeah.
So Washington's getting that treatment. Daniels won, and I think NFC title game too.
So the Texans last offseason had the best splashes.
Mm-hmm.
They spent a lot of money and brought in big names, like Danielle Hunter on defense, Stephon Diggs on offense. Yep. We could add a bunch more to the pile. But I think that more than C.J. Stroud was kind of the story. Because like Stroud was not beloved the same way Jaden Daniels was coming out of last year, and for good reason. But namely because you can't be a pocket passer like C.J. Stroud is and be as loved as Jaden Daniels is. Because you don't get on SportsCenter as much. People like you, they don't love you. You got to run a bunch. You got to be a dual threat. You got to be able to rip off 25-yard scrambles and do the thing in the open field where you make a guy miss and everyone goes, ooh, and then we all show the highlight, right? So I think this is just a Daniels thing. I want to hit the phones on this, 800-636-1067. Do you agree with my premise that I sit here and I go, the Chiefs are always going to be in the playoffs and make a deep run because they got Mahomes, and the Bills with Josh Allen. Have you seen Sinners, by the way?
No.
Haley Steinfeld's excellent.
She's in that?
You should check that out.
Okay.
But, by the way, really good movie. Stick aside.
Okay.
Very, very good film. But Burrow Bengals, Lamar Ravens, it's a small group. It feels like people have now put Jaden and Washington in that group that they're kind of counting their chickens that the Commanders are going to be really good. And I just think it's a Daniels thing. Do you think he's being thrust into that group like I do a little bit?
Yeah. Which, oh, I definitely do.
Which is exciting and cool. I'm I'm asking the question. I'm kind of looking around going, is it a little too soon for that? Like, do we need a rush? But hey, if people want to do it, I'm not going to not go to the ball if you're telling me I'm invited. I'll put my tux on. I don't know if I'm supposed to be there or not. But if I'm going to the Allen, Burrow, Mahomes, Lamar ball, and now I get to be the fifth guy there, I'll go. No problem. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan, a Darris Dameron, Ryan Clary, Toby Altizer production. Kudos to Darris, who won the Super Bowl in the penultimate season of his Madden League this weekend. So a big Super Bowl championship. I asked him the very deep question, do you enjoy winning as much as you hate losing?
It's such a good philosophical question.
And the answer is always going to be no. Darris really struggles with the whole losing at Madden thing, to the point where he'll kick people out of the league.
But now, is he out of the...
No, he doesn't kick himself out of the
league. I was going to say he won it, so doesn't that mean he has
to? He's allowed to win. But okay, one more season, and then he is detonating the whole league because I believe people were challenging his authority. I believe that's what it was. No, it just got no fun.
So it was fun. What was interesting is I was in the chat, because it's all on Discord. I don't know if you know about this, GP.
Of course.
There's a Discord chat for the stream. So like obviously those of us that know how to do that sort of stuff is in there. They were calling shenanigans and impropriety that this league was rigged so that Darris could win it. That's what they were saying. I'm not saying that's what they were saying.
I know Mother's Day is coming up, but on this day, we are celebrating Dad.
Oh, not.
We love you, based on the big Madden win. Vic and Akakeek, the question is, everybody's high on the Commanders going into the season despite a much tougher schedule. Is this a Jaden Daniels thing, or do they like the rest of the operation too? Vic, are you there?
What's up, fellas? It's been a while since I've been first up.
What's up, man?
I'm here. Y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
My bad. I said it's been a while since I've been number one on the call in the segment. So let's get right to it. I definitely believe that the analysts and the pundits are saying what we are because of Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is an immense talent. He's very Sean Taylor-esque when it comes to his ability, but it's a little more polished at the level that he's at the level that he's performing and the time that he's coming in. It is only because of Jaden Daniels. Our defense is not that good. Our defense is not that disciplined. Our defense is not that consistent. Our defense is very splashy throughout the totality of the game. I'll even go as far as we are leaning towards Tony Dungy-esque, where one side of the team is really, really good and the other side of the team is not.
Like the old school Colts or the Saints were like right that now. With Breeze and Sean Payton. There were some lopsided teams like that.
Yeah, so I'll close with this. If our defense, as far as personnel and as far as strategic scheme and accountability, was as good as our offense, but was as good as Jaden Daniels, I'm going to repeat that, good as Jaden Daniels, we would have walked through the Super Bowl, period.
Yeah, it's hard, though.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah.
You know, you can't spend on both sides of the ball all the time, right? You only get so many assets. You can't use picks on both sides of the ball in the same round. So you're going to be lopsided. I'd rather prioritize offense than defense and surround him with weaponry for sure. But I think he's right that the offense is way ahead of the defense. By the way, last year, Washington finished 28th against the run in yards per play. They were 16th, middle of the pack in yards per play defensively. I don't know if they feel like they're better or worse in terms of personnel. They have added three new starters, maybe with Kinlaw, Wise, and Will Harris, depending on who's in or who's out. I think maybe a fourth if you count Trey Amos, who they just drafted in the second round. But they lost John Allen up front. I don't think going from Allen to Kinlaw is an upgrade. They lost Dante Fowler, so I think their pass rush at the edge has gotten a little bit worse as well. Bobby Wagner was excellent, but he's a year older. I'll be curious to see how they implement and use Frankie Louvu as an edge rusher more often. And they got to be better in the secondary. I think getting some nickel play from Mikey Sanders still will help. And maybe the whole question of their defense this year is going to be Marshawn Lattimore. If he can play
it's a central one. Yeah, I mean, I think it actually might be an interesting thing. Are they better right now on defense than they were at the end of last season?
Well, I have made the contention that they are not from a personnel standpoint.
And I think that's where I'm at, too.
I feel better after the draft with the Amos pick. But to me, that gets them about even. I think they're worse in their front seven than they were last year.
And so to me, the only way that this works is if Lattimore's who they think he is, and not who I think that he is. You know what I mean? Like, if he's awesome, then I think it masks some things, and now your secondary went from, what are we going to do, to relative strength, actually.
Agreed.
You know, we had an Amos, Sanders still maybe back to his natural spot.
I'd say the same about Javon Kinlaw. They really like Javon
Kinlaw. Yeah, they do like him a lot.
I look at his career numbers, and I go, wait, him? This is the guy we're really getting 15 mil to? But they seem pretty convinced. We've got a chance coming up in just a few minutes at the end of the segment to win those Caps tickets, so make sure you're waiting for the cue to call on Grant and Danny. Let's go to John in Fredericksburg. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. I really enjoyed the show. I kind of want to go back a few years, back to Eddie LeBaron and Ralph Gagliani days. But I think Daniels is the key. Of course, he's the key to everything here. I have two issues. One is the schedule's going to be a little harder this year, and also the fact that they won so many games by so few points and so forth. So
that's what we were talking about earlier. That's one thing that does not carry over. And in fact, you can almost bank on it being reversed. It's almost like a batting average in baseball. When you have gotten a lot of duck snort hits, when you've gotten a lot of these jam shot rollers in the infield, and all of a sudden you're 8 for your last 10 or something. Think like James Wood with a 4-hit game, beating out a couple of rollers for ground ball base hits. Like, you're going to then hit into some bad luck, and vice versa. When James Wood hits 4 balls over 100 and is 1 for 4 and the others got run down in the gap or something, you're due. We saw it with Dylan Cruz. In football, when you have a year where it goes your way and the close games constantly are won, see the Vikings going back like 3 years ago, the next season, that doesn't happen. And all of a sudden, their record's very different in one-run games, and you're barely making the playoffs.
Yeah, we saw it in 2012 with this team, where they did miraculous things, and guys like Richard Crawford are returning punts for near touchdowns, or onside kicks don't go their way, or whatever it is. And then somehow next year, they didn't win 13 games, like everybody assumed they were going to, that they just descended. So you're 100% right. I mean, again, the more difficult schedule, the other guys getting paid to play too, defensive coordinators staying up all night trying to figure out how to stop you, slow you down, take away things you don't do well, and not adding this overwhelming amount of talent, I don't know. I mean, to me, a tougher road ahead seems reasonable.
How about 12 games against teams that didn't make the playoffs last year, most in the NFL? 11-1 record in those games. You're probably not playing that many games against non-playoff teams this year, and you're certainly not going to win that many of them. 8-4 in one-score games, another thing that'll be hard to replicate. All right, let's give away some Caps playoff tickets. We're doing it at the end of every hour. So one more chance, 60 minutes from now, to win today. The Caps playoff tickets to caller 9 right now at 800-636-1067. They're for tomorrow night's game against the Hurricanes. It's game 1, round 2. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com. Eric Edholm of NFL Network and NFL Media next on G&D.